This is file 6A, entitled The Media and Bad Science. We might like to think that it is education that has the biggest influence on our views of the world and the knowledge that we possess. However, the truth is that for most people, it's probably the media which takes the number one spot here. And I use the term media as a shorthand for the combined publication and broadcasting industries, which produce a vast amount of information daily, and then disseminate it through an increasing number of channels, which include TV, radio, the internet, books, newspapers, magazines, advertising, billboards, and the back of cornflakes packets. Through thinking about information as a resource in our environment, we can see that more and more it is this kind of information which we see first, and which we are encouraged to see first. Michael Goldhaber, in a journal piece which has been linked to from this site, has said that we are now living in an attention economy, one in which profits can be made not by providing information that is necessarily of high quality or validity, but which grabs the attention of the viewer. We are all encouraged to consume the information first and ask questions later, or better still, not ask them at all. Or, as Marshall McLuhan famously said, the medium becomes the message. We are encouraged to use our mobile phones or watch satellite TV or 24-hour CNN or use Facebook without any real interest in what it is we are actually saying. Our mere presence on the network is what is required, our rental of a line, our viewing of advertisements. In the media, information has become a commodity, something to be bought and sold, or something which attracts revenue and profit. And at least since the widespread availability of television, major world news events now play themselves out in real time, and it's unfair to say that the emotional and political impacts of a major event are in any way diminished because we're getting a second-hand experience of seeing them on TV and hearing reports about them rather than somehow being there in reality. I'm certainly thinking here of events like the death of Diana, Princess of Wales, in 1997, or the attacks on New York City in September 2001. But it's nevertheless important to think about how the media influence how we absorb information. Now, there are several other resources presented alongside this audio file which you can have a look at in order to start exploring this question for yourselves. Remember, first, the media exists not to disseminate information as a public good, but to make money. They are profit-making organisations. Again, there is nothing intrinsically wrong with that, but it is a fact. And any organisation which makes a profit does so best by identifying its market. Now, I said earlier that cognitive bias leads to people with existing right and left-wing views, for instance, only tending to read papers that share their views. But believe me, the newspaper owners and editors are well aware of this, and they reinforce the tendency by putting headlines on their covers designed to appeal to this audience. So in a way, it is a vicious circle. News reporting is very rarely objective in the way that scientific method is intended to achieve. It is frequently biased or parochial. The accompanying resource, which contains the two competing reports of the same football match, illustrates this in a non-academic way. And look also at the interview with a senior news producer. I think it's interesting because it challenges this tempting notion that the news is a window on the world, an objective commentary on what has, quotes, actually happened. And this is an image of the news that the news media itself like to promote. But as though Alex, who's the news producer interviewed, says that his station strives for political neutrality, it is nevertheless the case that he must make decisions about what story can be shown, and he has certain criteria for choosing between stories. And in any case, the news is actually written by individuals like him and by reporters. It is not some automatically generated commentary on reality. If you have the time, also look at the copy of George Orwell's brilliant essay, Politics in the English Language, which is surely one of the best short essays ever written about anything, and which shows how words themselves can be distorted for political ends. Now, why does all this matter for the researcher? Well, partly because You should be aware of how the influence of the media may have distorted your own views of the world. It is not necessary to reject these kinds of influences altogether, or to believe that there is something sinister going on here. It does help to become more critical of them. And this is why, incidentally, the discipline of media studies and media literacy are so often denigrated in the press and on TV, because they are designed to produce in learners a critical attention to the messages of the media that these organisations may prefer to avoid being subjected to. Look at the ACME website for more information here. But as well as this, the successful researcher will also be a disseminator of knowledge as well as just a consumer of it. And knowing the pitfalls which can exist when academic knowledge comes into contact with market forces is a useful safeguard against mistakes and bad practice here. And here the final resource linked to from this section, Ben Goldacre's website and book Bad Science, is an excellent reference point, which I think all researchers should read at least once. Thank you.